Hello.
Hey, folks.
No.
Hello.
Nope.
Hey everyone. We'll get started in a minute or so.
No. Ingolf, are you able to scribe?
Yes.
Thank you very much. All right, it's 10:03, so let's get started. Today we're going to talk about the breaking changes document. Oops, well, that's fine. Yeah, the breaking changes document. This came about. There was a PR involving a breaking change, and the TC had to weigh in on it, and part of the discussion back then was that breaking process of announcing breaking changes or going about them were not documented, and this is Jen's attempt to put that together. So there are some comments on here, but I think there was some back and forth in some Slack thread or Slack conversations that I don't know where to reference from. I'm hoping some of you have taken a look at the documents and some of the comments. Jen, do you have any other context to add?
No, I think there was some general agreement. I think that this first point about there's some disagreement about whether always avoiding a breaking change is good. Sometimes it's less work to just go ahead and make the breaking change, is I think what the comment there is about. So figuring out the right balance of what to recommend here, I think, was one of the points of contention.
Okay. I think, let me see. As I understand it, the comment is saying you can make a breaking change if it's a module within your team and you don't need to an announce it. Is what I'm getting from the comments.
Okay, maybe the other comment was elsewhere. I think the potential issue with not, you have to be super confident that no one outside of Folio is consuming your API either. Maybe with UI modules you are, I don't know.
I agree. Yes, Kevin.
Yeah, I wanted to say I agree too. With open source projects, we never know who's paying attention or who might actually be developing and considering at the time you're making a breaking change. So it's something we probably should put out there.
Jen, do you want to go through the fine points or should I?
You definitely can.
Okay. I will say I didn't think what was written up here was a contentious, but I think there was more action in the Slack thread. But let's go through it. And I have one suggestion that might not be related to this, but let's go ahead. So, avoiding breaking changes whenever possible. Consider how your changes consider how to make your changes backward compatible in all cases. Ask for assistance in designing backward compatible solutions. I agree with that overall. And yes, the point that it's within your own team may not hold for a open source project. Any disagreements with that point? And I will respond to some of the comments after we're done to give the TC stance on things. And once this is ready, we will post it to the development channel for more back and forth, I guess. Yes, Julian.
Well, I disagree with the first sentence because it's always possible to simply keep the old API and create a new API with the new things, and then there's no breaking change. But I don't think that we should do this because often the new API is the only thing that will actually be used and that is useful. And therefore, a breaking change is often a better solution because it reduces the amount of APIs we have and reduces the overhead. So this should be worded in a different way so that you should weight the different things, maintaining an old API and what the impact is.
Thank you, Julian. MacBee?
Yeah, Julian said essentially what I was about to say. There are some scenarios, let's say you're adding a parameter from a data response, so you're removing it from a data response. So you can create a new like version two of that same API instead that doesn't have that parameter, but you've essentially benefited no one by doing that because no one's either no one's going to use the old one. Everybody has to change their code to point to the new one or whatever. The document that's linked in bullet four that lists all those different definition of breaking changes and all those scenarios, I think illustrates why sometimes it makes more sense than others to make the breaking change. To me, the principle here that's most important is about the communication about it, not so much to avoid it or to do it. In principle, sure, yes, avoid it when possible. But I think there's going to be enough cases where it makes sense to do it. That as long as there's that communication and people can weigh in, that to me is the goal.
Thank you, MacBee. Kevin.
Yeah, what Julian said made me wonder if we should also consider some language regarding limiting excessive identical endpoints in case someone wants to avoid is Because this could lead to people excessively avoiding breaking change and create like three or four different endpoints that are really could have been one endpoint and they wanted to avoid the breaking change. So I wonder if we should consider that in this as well.
Thanks, Kevin. Jen, do you have any feedback to that?
No, I think that the main think the communication is the main piece, and letting people know why you're doing what you're doing. I think the reason there was friction about the change that was made was that people asked for information and felt like they weren't getting it. So I wrote this in this obviously super opinionated way. So I think it's definitely fine to soften this and focus more on the communication. Not exactly sure how to change the wording off the top of my head right now.
Fair. I guess yeah, maybe the language is stronger, but I still see making the points that Julian and others have made. I can still see that in this language, but yeah, we can clarify further and mention that the communication is what's important. Okay, any other points on that? If you are unable to make your change backwards compatible, be prepared to explain to other teams why you must make a breaking change and provide the justification when you announce your intention to make the change. Be prepared to interact with other teams and answer their questions about the work you are creating for them. So this will be, more about the communication aspect. Any disagreements on that point?
Not a disagreement, but it raises a question in my mind. What if there's, because there's a difference between answering their questions and making the decision, right? So what happens in the case where you say, you know what, our team needed to make a breaking change, here's why, and then there's disagreement between other devs in the community saying, I really think this is the wrong approach. Who has the final say?
I don't want to take a stab at that. I don't know if it's documented anywhere, Maccabee.
Yeah, I mean, currently the module owners would have the final say. In theory, TC is supposed to arbitrate disputes, but I have a hard time seeing us getting involved in that, unless, I don't know. I think that would be a sort of a post-mortem, wow, that really didn't go well, and we'd have to revise process. But it seems like right now it would still be the module owner making that decision.
Shelly, you didn't raise your hand anymore, so but let me know
Yeah,
if you still want to talk.
is
Go ahead.
just agreeing with what Maccabee just said.
Okay. Thanks, Shelly. Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, the TC does arbitrate disputes. I mean, that's how this got to us, right? We were asked to weigh in on this dispute. So that I don't think that necessarily means the TC has the final decision. However, right, like I mean, potentially, I mean, hopefully this it, hopefully we can avoid it coming to this, right? But you could say, well, the team making the breaking change has the final decision on whether it's going to make a breaking change. And a team downstream from that change could say, well, I'm not going to prioritize this change. And then that creates a standoff that would need to be resolved. So, I mean, I think that I don't know, Craig, what you think. I mean, I think the hope is that we don't get to the point where someone has to make a decision, right? Like that the community avenues for communication and arbitration are sufficiently open that no one feels like someone has to make a decision over the head of someone else. But, of course, it, doesn't always go that way.
Hey Jen, can you take over? I need to deal with something on my side.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, Wayne, I mean, I think we're kind of in agreement here. Like, obviously we'd like to avoid these situations, right? But on the other side of the coin there, it's like, well, these situations are going to happen inevitably. And that's why, like you said, that's why we're talking about it right now, is because this did happen. I guess my point is, and it doesn't need to be a one size fits all thing, but if we're going to define some policy here and share it with the devs, maybe we should cover this some way. And it doesn't necessarily have to be definitive. It could be worded loosely, such that, maybe that is something along the lines of the TC may arbitrate disputes or something like that, but acknowledge that the module owners have the final say in making the decision. Ultimately, it's their choice, right? And I don't know if that's the exact language you want to use, but something along those lines. If we're making a policy, we should at least touch on this, in my opinion.
I think that makes sense. I think as another, where maybe we'll think about the wordsmithing a little bit later. I mean, I think in this case, yeah, the team went ahead and made their change, and the conflict seemed to be more about communication. So I think, yes, both offering the TC as a resource for helping to work through disputes and then acknowledging that teams have control over their code. And we hope that things work out the best for the users of the product. Hopefully everybody hopes that. Okay. So I think that was point number two. Maccabee, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to go in circles on this. I agree with that decision. And as I said, I do think teams can decide what to do with their code. I wouldn't say that necessarily that means that the teams have the final decision. I think our community standards mean that theoretically TC could still get involved in an arbitration dispute. But like everybody else is saying, I don't think this was actually that kind of dispute. This was a communication challenge of the change was made before that there was communication about it. And I don't think, I appreciate Craig's intent, but I don't think we should go too far down the line of if this, then this, if this, then this, if what we're trying to do here is talk about communication principles. Let's talk about the communication principles, and try not to, try, see if that achieves what I think we have consensus on, which is that that would have de-escalated this in the first place.
Thank you, Maccabee, whatever you said. Are you still on point number two?
Yes. Yep. We
Okay.
were talking about Craig's comments still.
Got it. I guess what I wanted to say in response to that was, if there's a dispute, although we don't like to say the final say, blah blah blah, hope the teams resolve what they need to do. But ultimately, it should escalate to the TC. And if we don't have the appropriate knowledge to, help that, maybe we can bring in extra folks. But my thinking is that it should get to the TC if everyone comes to an impasse.
So I'm hearing two different things here. I thought I heard earlier that, presently the final decision rests with the maintaining team, right? But then I think what I'm hearing from Maccabee and others now is that the final say is really at the TC. So is which one is it? And or are we wishy-washy on this and we just don't want to say? Is it do we want to
Everyone's response.
intentionally leave it ambiguous, I guess?
Anyone else want to respond before I do?
It seems like we might be able to say, in most cases, the maintaining team makes the decision. And that would cover some sort of hostile change getting made if we feel like we need to have an exception for that. I mean, I think in reality, in most, in all cases, except for someone really going off the rails, the maintaining team is going to make the decision. The TC is not going to decide for them whether or not something should have been a breaking change. That's just not the level that we work at. And I don't think we have any standards that have opinions about that level of change.
I agree with Jen. It's coming to the TC is when maybe you want to make a breaking change, the maintaining team says no, and for some reason you feel you're being slighted and you have to get more eyes or something. I think some escalation paths should be there, but ultimately we would want all of this to be resolved before it gets to us. Wayne?
I feel like if there's not, so it may be that what folks are saying is true, that the TC is not well positioned to decide if things should be breaking changes, et cetera, and it's also if it's also true that we need an escalation path, that escalation path needs to have some teeth. And that would mean that there is a community standard that is outside of the purview of any individual team. So, if we are not the representative of that standard, then who is?
Maccabee?
Yeah, I think Wayne put it very well. We're not, TC doesn't block commits. We're not PR reviewers on anyone's modules. We don't block commits, right? If a development team decided to do a commit on one of their modules that introduced something that was a security problem or included a GPL dependency or something else that violated the TC's policies in some way, then we would have to bring that up and we would have to have a conversation about it and figure out, how to deal with it. And that's where the arbitrating disputes comes in. But it's not the actively blocking of pull requests and changes.
Thank you, McAfee. Jen?
When I think one standard we have in the community is that we do try to operate by consensus. So maybe it's just that the TC will help both sides work towards consensus. And there could be consensus where the maintaining team does back down, but we don't need to get into the details of that. It's just that the TC will help them work towards a decision.
Yes, Wayne.
I think that's a really nice nuance, Jen. I think that's a, if there's a way that to capture that our role is to sort of build the consensus that's required to operate as a community. I think that's that makes a lot of sense.
Any other points, on this, and any change recommended? Yes, Wayne.
I just want to confirm that Craig, does that address your concern about where the responsibility lies? I mean, it's a little wishy-washy, but it feels like a little more appropriate to our role.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I was just trying to understand more than anything. And I think I understand the situation. I'm not advocating that we must put something hard and fast. We don't have to set it in stone right now, but it was, I think this was, it was worth having the conversation.
Thank you for bringing it up, Craig. Yeah, we hope that the teams resolve what they need to resolve, but yeah, we can facilitate them coming to a consensus so that it's not just the two sides involved. Thank you everyone for the good discussion. Number three, announce your intention to make the breaking change as soon as possible. There's a comment here. Jen, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that I was just trying to understand because they might, at the beginning of their cycle, when they're going to build this breaking change, they might announce it, that they're thinking about it. But then do they need to make a second announcement? But I think maybe I actually answered this because they create tickets for the other teams. So they might have their announcement early in the cycle, have discussion in Slack if they're going to. And then the sort of final announcement is when they make those tickets for the teams. And maybe that just works well enough. Yeah,
Any
McAbee
other
says
points on that?
that.
Go ahead.
Maccabee just pointed out in chat that there's more about the announcing in the next part. So maybe there doesn't need to be a lot of detail here.
Okay. I will withhold my feedback on that. Kevin?
Yeah, what stood out to me the most was the as soon as possible point. So I feel like we should like emphasize that one. That's all.
Thanks, Kevin. Any other points on this? And then the last is linked to the breaking changes doc. We should when we send this out, we should put this out there because I think not a lot of people know the existence of this doc or it's not top of mind. All right. Are we doing on time? Halfway through. Okay. Announcing breaking changes. Create a ticket for the breaking change and a ticket for every dependent module. Thoughts? I was thinking. So if my team decides to create a ticket for a breaking change, and let's say I need it for a release, there is no guarantee that the other teams will prioritize their tickets for the release. Is that correct? There isn't urgency, or what do you guys think about that?
It seems like what I've observed in Slack is that sometimes there is discussion about, well, this isn't actually going to break anything in my module. So that does seem to somewhat relate to the urgency. I'm not sure what the answer to that is.
Okay. I think having the ticket there is good. Maybe my question will be answered in the further points, but we'll circle back. Kevin?
Unfortunately, this is not an answer to yours. It's not about the urgency. What I'm wondering is how does someone know what every dependent module means? What is that? How do you I don't think this will be, always be clear. And I think I would think that the announcement is to help people find out rather than to have the person making the breaking change have to find all those modules themselves. It seems a bit excessive, especially again in the open source community where we don't know who might be using this beyond our core.
That's fair, Kevin. Maccabee. And then we can respond to those points. Maccabee.
Yeah, I wanted to address a different aspect of it. Part of the value of creating the ticket in the first place, at least one, is for the details to be there, right? And to the discussion back and forth can be a can be beneficial there, as opposed to it can be a little harder in Slack threads. On the other hand, if we want to focus the decision or the discussion on the break in the Slack thread, we can do that too. When we first talked about this a year and a half ago or so, I had done a proof of concept bit of tooling to just monitor the labels on Jira issues and if they had been flagged as breaking change to do some posting to Slack and some other ways so we could get the word out to people who aren't just following Jira itself. I don't have particular thoughts on what other channels it should be posted to, or what other Jiras rather.
Thank you, Maccabee. Jen, did you want to respond to something?
Just that this issue of creating the tickets for the breaking changes seems to be the actual practice at the moment. I don't know if Craig or anybody else that works more directly with teams wants to speak to it, but that does seem to be what they're doing, at least in some cases.
Yeah, I think that precedent goes back quite a ways, several years. I mean, I remember we were doing things like that when I was in the core platform team 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever that was, right? So, and I want to say that the TC back then did discuss it as well, and that was sort of the agreed upon approach. But I see it both ways. Yeah, it is. I mean, depending on how significant and how, what the impact is of a given breaking change, it could be a significant amount of work to find all those things, assuming that all the dependencies are even defined appropriately, and then filing all those JIRAs and so forth. At one point, the core platform team was actually even creating pull requests against the other modules with the corresponding changes. I don't know if the language goes that far, but at one point we were even doing that.
Yeah, I think this is part of the acknowledgement, like we're making a breaking change. We know it's creating work for you, but hey, we already did this chunk of it for you, so hopefully it's easy for you to accept.
Yeah, I think it would be the best effort. Like Craig said, that dependencies might not be declared appropriately. So there might be, things out there that might be using endpoints or what have you. And I think the hope is the notification in the development Slack channel should help surface that. Yeah, and like Jen said, this is current practice now. To make it 100% correct, I think would be pretty hard. So I would say, we should keep it going for now. Any other thoughts on that point? All right. Post the information about the breaking change to the Folio development channel, include the justification for the breaking change, and answer questions as they arise. Thoughts? Yes, MacBee.
Just so the this is jumping ahead, but the next bullet point about using the sysops channel as well acknowledges that not that the sysops are not necessarily following the development channel. So with that in mind, what about third party or third external projects that use the Folio APIs, discovery layers, and so forth? Are we assuming that folks involved in those projects are monitoring the Folio development channel and or the Folio sysops channel? And if we don't think that our own sysops are going to be following the Folio development channel, it seems strange to me to think that people who don't work on Folio at all, but on integrate with it, would be following the Folio development channel. So I would advocate, I mean, I'm not against posting it to Folio development. I think that's great. And maybe that's where most of the discussion happens. But I feel like there should be a lower traffic point where people can just follow breaking changes, whether that's a Slack channel that mirrors anything in Folio development that has the word breaking in it and just reposts it there, or some other channel. I think there should be a low volume announcement style channel for breaks, at least for backend module breaks, that external projects will care about.
Any response to that?
I don't, yeah, I think adding that is fine. I still like posting it where we know people are. It did make me think about the learning APIs channel might be another place. Maybe in some of our discussion about API first, we consider whether, I don't know, we think about that channel and the name of it. But yeah. So I don't mind adding it, but I do think it's good to post where people already are as well.
Yeah, I'm happy to have the primary discussion there on Folio development. N no disagreement about that. I'm suggesting an addition.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mackie, and I think it's related to what I was thinking about on this point. Even I don't follow development all the time, depending on how chatty it is. I think that there needs to be some level of notification outside of Slack for breaking changes. The ideal vision is that each module has a list of breaking changes, maybe it's by date or by module version that it has. And maybe there's some automation to surface that in a release notes of sorts so that it's all grouped together. So when you say, what breaking changes are in Sunflower, you can go to a single place to find them versus scrolling through the development channel to find when some discussions were had. But that's probably not practical in the immediate term. But yeah, I do not disagree with Folio at discussing this in Folio development. But I think if there was a significant breaking change that reshare needed to know about, it would be better to have more defined process so that it's not when they decide to run or copy or something that they would find a breaking change. Yes, MacB.
I like your idea, Lamide, and I'm wondering if maybe the simplest execution of that is just a single Confluence page that uses some of Confluence Jira integration based on some label on the Jira. If we have a breaking change label, then it automatically gets added to the Confluence page. And I don't know a whole lot about the Atlassian suite, but I think you can have notifications, when a Confluence page changes. So would that work?
Yes, I think that's another avenue too. Maybe it's even more accessible to folks. Something like that where the breaking change is defined in the module space, and then that gets surfaced up to the release or to a page somewhere. That if are there any disagreements, not exactly in the implementation, but the idea of doing something like that to surface breaking changes from modules into a single location. It'd probably be in a backlog somewhere, and Jen's comment about maybe having that as part of the API first topic would be good. So, Ingolf, if you can add to the notes that we should discuss surfacing breaking changes to a release or to a Confluence page as part of the API first discussion, that would be good.
Sure.
Thank you. Up next, if the breaking change will impact system operators or folio integrations post to the folio sysops channel, I think we are in agreement there. And Maccabee, can you speak on this? I think you kind of did already.
Sorry, I've forgotten what I commented there. It's a whole 2 months. I'm not supposed to remember what I said a whole 2 months ago. Yeah, well, no, that does essentially say what I just said. There should be a single channel for third-party integrating software. I mean, the canonical example of this is there was a typo that got fixed in, I think, mod circulation about a year and a half ago that broke vFind. Because the parameter was that was spelled the British way got changed to spell the American English way, right? Just a perfect
Think
example
I
of
remember that.
something. Yeah, I mean, that communication is really important.
Okay. Last but not least, once the ticket for the breaking change is merged, the interdependent tickets are notified so the devs responsible for them can do the necessary changes. And Pablo is saying, I think changes in the related modules should be made and merged in parallel because merging a breaking change without updating the dependent modules will cause failures. Any thoughts on this point?
I'll just say that I was attempting to write down what the process looked like to me. And so when I observed what they were doing in Slack, it looked like the change was getting made first and then they were letting people know to go ahead and finish. But if that's not actually what's happening, or if that's not the optimal way of having it happen, we can definitely update this. It's not totally clear to me how disparate teams can really work in parallel, but other folks that are closer to dev might know.
Thanks, Tim. Any other thoughts? I think the essence here is valid, but how that can be done in parallel with the different teams, I don't know if that would be practical. That would be why the process looks like what you documented, Jen. I think I brought up at this point that how does a team expect other teams to work on the ticket in a timely manner? And I don't think we have a good answer for that. Does anyone have any suggestions to make this better?
Yeah, what it looks like right now is the breaking change team has to kind of chase down any straggling teams to get it taken care of.
Yeah, we could do things in parallel, but in practice, that wouldn't work out. And that's why, go ahead, Shelley.
Yeah, so I was just thinking if our role as technical counsel is supposed to build consensus, part of that should include like a timeline, right? Maybe like do we need to spell out here in this I guess document about a part of this is negotiating a timeline of when this is done. And so that would help with this last point of like, when do things get merged? Maybe, you know. I mean, obviously the dependencies probably would need to be updated before first before the overall I don't know, the independent module is updated. So I don't know. Something about maybe a timeline should be included here. Or maybe that's too, we want to be purposefully ambiguous, so we don't want to say anything about a timeline. I don't know.
Any response to that?
We could encourage the Breaking Change team to include their preferred timeline in their communication and just kind of leave it at that. Like, I don't know if they could say, we think we're going to do it in sprint 171 or whatever.
I don't think the TC is able to dictate when specific tickets, security issues have a better chance of getting done in a timely manner, because there's shared understanding there. But if one team has a feature and the other team doesn't have capacity, or the module is orphaned, we don't have the ability to set that timeline. To your point, Shelley, if a team wants something to get done faster and other people said no, the escalation path would be to come to the TC, and then we will discuss it as a larger group rather than in PR comments. We hope it doesn't get to that, but if it does, then we have to tackle it. So maybe it's intentionally ambiguous. All right. We were able to get through this doc. I think number one is what we want to soften the language. Anyone aware of any other points we need to update language for? Yes, Kevin.
The announcing breaking change section, the first bullet, I still have concerns of a ticket for every dependent module. The second section,
Okay.
the every dependent module, that might also be need to be softened up some way. I'm not sure how, but that's my opinion. I don't know if anyone else agrees.
Yeah, I think I agree. Anyone else agrees or disagrees?
I guess I only disagree in the sense that like it's what they're doing now, and I wasn't really trying to disrupt their current process.
I think the point is more of the every, since you don't know what every is. So this would be saying, hey, you have to get everything even if you don't know everything. So not saying teams shouldn't create tickets, but that the language of this bullet point says for every dependent module. Does that make sense, Jen?
I guess. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but more like best effort really
Right.
is
Yeah.
what Kevin's trying to say. Okay, so that's one, two, and Jen will work together on these 2 points. Any other ones that need clarification? All right. Jen and I will work on this. We'll post that version in the TC channel. If there are no disagreements there, then we will post it to the development channel. And maybe the CSUB channel too, just for measure. Any other thoughts, questions? And the PO channel. What's the PO channel? Is that RMS product?
The product owners.
Okay, yeah, we should put it there. The product owners too should be aware of what's involved with a breaking change too. Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Mark. All righty then. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Thanks, so long.
Das.
Oh.
Moment, ich das jetzt abspeichern. Ah. Tschüss.